I figure out life by writing it down. And mm-hmm. that helps me untangle some of what's going on in my head. And sometimes, not always, but not infrequently either, I will get ideas for like, oh, I should do this with my career or this with whatever project I'm working on. So that's part of it for me.
This is Finding the Throughline, the show that gives you inside access to honest conversations about the creative process. I'm Kate Hanley. Today, I am talking with Jennifer Fink, an award-winning freelance writer who covers parenting, education, and health for magazines and websites. Jennifer started her career as a registered nurse, but shortly after her oldest son, and as you'll find out, she has four boys, Jennifer pivoted to writing full-time. Her most recent book is called Building Boys, Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. Jennifer is also the co-host of the podcast On Boys, which covers, you guessed it, real talk about parenting, teaching, and reaching tomorrow's men. Although Jennifer's writing career is clearly going great, she does maintain her nursing license just in case. I myself am the mom to a girl and a boy and know all about the need to keep attention fair and balanced between the genders. And since I had Chelsea Gooden, the author of Underestimated, The Wisdom and Power of Teen Girls, on a couple weeks ago, I knew I had to have Jennifer on too. I know I have male listeners, and I want you to know that I am working on having some men as guests on the show, but today we are at least breaking the seal on male-centric content by talking with Jennifer. And while I'm talking about this, I just want to say that if anyone, male or female, out there has male writers that you think I should reach out to, please send me a DM on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author, and I will get right on it. Okay, Jennifer, thank you for listening to my spiel and welcome to Finding the Throughline.
I love listening to the spiel. It's so much easier to find the throughline in a nice bio instead of as you're going forward piece by piece.
Totally. When you have that retrospective and then someone can also read it back to you. Very clarifying.
Exactly.
So just so you and our listeners know, how it works is that I'm going to be asking you questions in three basic categories: practical matters, inner stuff, and what's coming up. So for folks who listen to the free version of this podcast, each category of questions and answers is released in its own episode, and those episodes have ads sprinkled in to help me keep the lights on. If you'd like to skip the ads, you listeners out there, you can become a paid subscriber to my Substack at katehanley.substack.com, and I'll send you the full interview with no ads each week. It's $5 a month and a great investment in your own creativity. Okay, that's our housekeeping. Jennifer, let's jump in.
Let's.
This is a big question, and feel free to answer it as finitely or infinitely as you like. But what drew you to the work that you're doing now?
Having all these boys. Having all these boys is what drew me to the work. The longer how I got to writing is, like so many of us who write, I'd always loved reading. I loved reading. I loved writing. And after I graduated college with a degree in nursing, I missed writing. And I didn't know that was abnormal until I talked to fellow nurses who did not miss writing in the least. So that was a piece of it. And as I shared, after my oldest son was born, I don't know, there's something about being a mom that makes you strong in ways you weren't before. Mm-hmm. You know, you're strong for your child and you start be a little stronger for yourself. So there was some of that. And then there was just random coincidence. In the trying to keep child busy that we all do, I had pushed him in the stroller to the public library and discovered this book, Handbook of Freelance Writing, written by a man named Michael Perry. And he's since written many other books, including Population 485 and a bunch of other ones, Coop, I think. And this book was by a Wisconsin writer from rural Wisconsin, check, check, same, who was a registered nurse. Check, who made the transition to a career in writing, and this book told me how to do it. I didn't know freelance writing was a thing. So that was kind of my start, and I continued and I explored. And then why I ended up writing about boys was because I had them back when blogging was the big thing. I took a class, you know, about blogging, and part of it, you start a blog. What do they always say? Write about what you know. You know, write something that you're not going to get sick of. I mean, Blogging About Boys was the original blog, and it just continued to grow from there because as the boys grew, I realized a couple things. Number one, I needed this knowledge to survive my own life because even though I have four brothers and I do have a sister, I have four brothers and a sister, there was a lot I did not understand about guys. I didn't know I didn't understand it. I didn't realize, and this sounds so naive to say it, but I didn't know. I didn't know anything about how gender affected males. I had no clue. And so as I learned that, then I started realizing that a lot of other people also don't have this information, that a lot of the things that we thought was something like I was doing wrong or something that was wrong with the boys, they were common issues. You know, if like 8 out of 10 households are dealing with something, maybe the problem is bigger than just me. And that's really what brought me down this road.
That's so cool. Well, how old is your oldest son?
He's 26.
And how does that
happen?
He's
26. I was 25 when he was born. So he is now older than I was when I had him.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So it's been 20 plus years since you started and started going down this path. And now it sounds like maybe your boys are on the grown side. Of course,
baby just turned 18. So I have officially gotten everybody through to adulthood legally. But as anybody listening who has older kids knows, like, that's not actually the end of the road. You actually keep parenting forever.
La, la, la. I'm not quite ready to listen to that yet. But, but so I'm curious, though, because it's been a long time that you've been covering this, and now you're in kind of a different life stage, as are your inspirations. So what is keeping you connected to your work?
What is keeping me connected to my work is the fact that a couple of things right now. So there's still a lot that I'm dealing with. I mean, one of the facts about boys and males that I've learned through this work is, broadly speaking, males develop more slowly than females do. Eventually, we get to the same maturity and lots of individual variation. But broadly speaking, male brains mature more slowly than females do. Male bodies mature more slowly than females. And really, all you have to do to think about this is, like, look at some 15-year-olds. Mm-hmm. Most of the 15-year-old boys, not all, but many of them, they still look like kids. And some of the 15-year-old girls, many of them look like adults. They're not adults and they're not fully there yet, but there's just this different pace of maturation. So having young adult males, like, there's still a lot of growing that's going on and there's still support. And it certainly looks very different than the days of, like, where I had to get everybody's shoes on them. Totally different, but demanding in a whole nother way. And the other aspect is that I think for the first time in the 25 plus years that I've been thinking about and dealing with these things, boys are more in the spotlight than they have been in a long time. And we are finally seeing some cultural and societal attention to the fact that many of our boys and young men are not thriving, are in fact struggling, are falling behind academically, are falling behind socially, are more likely to die of suicide, are more likely to die of drug and alcohol use. And so as this is picking up attention, I'm continuing to be part of this conversation because, frankly, I feel like I have a lot to offer and add to that conversation. And I don't want other generations of parents and other generations of boys to struggle as much as previous generations.
I love that. I love your origin story, too, about how you were at the public library with your infant and found a book that said you could be a freelance writer. And so you did. And now here we are 25 years later. It's like,
right.
So such a tidy story, right? But was there a part of that journey that was more difficult than you expected? And if so, how did you work with that difficulty?
So much of it. I mean, so after finding that book, it gave me some steps, and I don't know who said it, and I'm sure you've heard it, and I'm sure all your listeners have too. You know, you don't need to see the whole road, you just need to take the next right step. Of course, figuring out what that right step is, hello, that's the great challenge. And sometimes you just step, and if it's right, good, and if not, you do a different one. So the book was sort of a start, and I did some Googling, and Actually, Google wasn't a thing then, I don't think. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't.
Might have been Ask Jeeves.
Right? It could have been. I took some courses through UW-Madison Continuing Ed via email at first.
Wow.
And so my whole writing career has kind of been have a kid, do a little bit of writing. And at that point, the first writing that I pitched was nursing related. It was to nursing magazines because that's what I was reading and that's what my world was. Have another kid, do some more writing. And it was this gradual buildup of writing and parenting. And this was at the point in time in which parenting magazines were a thing. American Baby, Parents, Parenting, Family Fun. I mean, you and I could sit here and name them. I gradually did more writing, less nursing, more writing, more parenting. When I had four boys, and when the youngest was three, is when an unexpected separation slash divorce happened in my life. Mm-hmm. That was an unplanned. That was a setback. That was, I had made $20,000 in the year previous writing, and I wasn't nursing anymore. And that was fantastic as extra income.
Right.
That is not family supporting income even then. And so I suddenly had to drastically increase my business. I was like, am I going to lose my house? Am I going to have to go back to nursing? For what it would take me to go back to bedside nursing, is my time better spent down on the writing? And in hindsight, you're right. It's a neat story. But in that hallway, mm-hmm. it was not clear at all what I needed to do. And I was very fortunate. I did make it through. And a lot of it was because of irons that were in the fire previous. I mean, fortunately, I had already started. Fortunately, I had clips. I had colleagues. I had connections with this wonderful community of writers that you and I are both a part of.
Correct.
That helped tremendously. Mm-hmm. I'm the kind of writer, and I know there's a lot of us, like, I tend to procrastinate and put things off until it's a must-do. Mm-hmm. This was a must-do. Failure was not an option. I had four children. So somehow got through that and made that work. And now we're here. And I've been doing this for 20 plus years. I feel like I have a lot of expertise. I have a lot to offer. And the industry has shifted. And I'm sure you're experiencing this as well. None of those magazines exist anymore. Writing for magazines is not a lucrative business anymore. I am having to figure out what to do, how to do it in this world. And I'm still grappling with that. I mean, I've written two books, but writing books is not necessarily the most profitable endeavor either. So trying to figure out how to use these skills and how to make a living at the same time doing the actual work of living, I wrestle with that constantly, Kate.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm in books, I have to say, like, because magazines went away. And
yeah,
we have to just keep finding new ways to put our skills to use. And thank you for sharing your story with us. I think it's so important.
Yeah.
And I need to take a quick break for an ad, but we'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Jennifer, what kinds of habits, practices, or attitudes help you be creative? Like, I know you mentioned that you respond well to urgency, and thank you for saying that because I do too. Nothing like a deadline to get you going. But
right?
What else? What else keeps you in that zone?
Whew, I struggle with this area, and I will freely admit that because I'm not a habit-driven creature in a lot of ways. I find that I get bored doing the same thing over and over. And I'm not even sure at this point if that is inherently me or if that is a side effect of parenting four children over two decades and constantly having to adapt for whatever crisis is next. I'm really not sure.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older and further in my career, I've realized that I do need to do things to take care of myself or nothing's going to happen. And one pretty constant thing is I journal. And I'm actually, I call it morning pages, and that's mm-hmm. a la Julia Cameron, and the artist's way. Morning pages is the practice of writing out 3 pages longhand in the morning. And I would be lying if I told you I did it absolutely every morning. I kind of skip weekends. If I can, you know, hang out in bed and drink coffee and chat with my husband, I'm going to do that instead. If I'm tight for time, I may skip it altogether, or I may do 2 pages or 1 page. But morning pages for me, and I think it's because I'm a writer, I figure out life by writing it down. And that helps me untangle some of what's going on in my head. And sometimes, not always, but not infrequently either, I will get ideas for like, oh, I should do this with my career or this with whatever project I'm working on. So that's part of it for me. I would say that's a pretty powerful habit. And in terms of actually getting the work done, I am a big fan of timers. When I really need to get something done, I will set a timer on my phone and I will say, I'm going to work on this for 30 minutes. When this 30 minutes is up, I can get a cup of tea, get up, stop, whatever. That's really the only thing that forces me butt and chair to get things done.
Mm-hmm. I love it. What about the things that you do just to take care of yourself or just for the fun of it? Like, how do you keep yourself in a good place?
Increasingly, I've realized that movement and outside are vitally important. And I don't know why it took me this long to realize these things. Everybody tells us movement is important. Everybody says exercise is important. And yet, there's nothing like coming to the realization yourself.
For sure.
We have 2 dogs, which definitely helps because they force me to be outside. I mean, they don't take no for an answer, as all dog owners will know. And that can be extremely inconvenient sometimes, but I always do feel better when I drag myself outside with them. Always. I always feel better. So I have made it a point that, like, I have to be outside every day. Now, if you live in Southern California, that might not be difficult to do, but I live in Wisconsin where it can be pretty lousy a lot of the time when it's below zero or windy. I still actually feel better when I go outside. So I'm trying to incorporate some physical activity and nature time in every day. My preference, like, I love when I can get outside and when I can do hiking, and I love when I can go camping, and my husband and I love to go scuba diving, and I love the water. I can't do those things all the time, but I can at least make sure that I get outside for a while. And so one of the things I do when it is nice out, those couple months of the year, I will take my morning pages outside and I will sit outside and I do them. So I'm kind of getting that dual hit of nature and writing done at the same time. Same way, if I can kind of combine physical activity and outside, win-win.
I love it. Yeah, 2 birds, 1 stone. So clever. Yeah.
Yes, I only have so much time in the day and it's not enough.
Yes, agreed. And when you are setting your timer, it's time to work. What else do you have to sort of bolster you? Like, do you have beverages? Are you listening to music? Is it a certain time of day?
My times of day are all over the place. It's often driven by these are the windows I have, more often than not. I usually do have a beverage, like in the morning from the time I get up, at least until noon, if not after. I mean, it's coffee with cream. And I don't care what my husband tells me, his dental hygienist tells him about how it's worth for your teeth with cream in it. I don't care. Cream in my coffee. Music-wise, it really depends. If I am doing something like finding sources, or if I'm pulling together my Substack newsletter and I'm collating articles and ideas, that I can do with music on. Like, you know, I'll set my timer and then I'll turn on Pandora, whatever kind of music I feel like. But if I am writing, I cannot have music with words because my head follows the words and I need to tap into what's coming from me. An app that I've used for years when I need to do that kind of work is I use Focus at Will.
Okay.
And it's incorporated where it's like a timer and music. And they say, like, you can take a test and it will tell you, you know, which kind of music to use for which tasks. I don't know how much I believe the science of it or not, but that's what I use.
Cool. Fascinating. I'm going to have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that concludes our section of questions about the practical matters. But for people who might be listening, who it might be kind of news to them that men are not doing as well as they have been in the past by all the measures that you mentioned, and thank you for mentioning that. I didn't prep you for this question, but I'm just curious, do you have resources or places for folks to go check that out?
Oh, learn more? Boy. Sure. I mean, you can definitely go to my website, buildingboys.net. There's a lot of content there. A book that made a big splash within the last year plus is called Of Boys and Men by Richard V. Reeves. And after that came out, Reeves was with the Brookings Institution, and he has since started the American Institute, I'm not sure if it's of or for boys and men, AIBM. And you can Google that. You can look that up. And there's a lot of content there. And the long and short of it is that on a lot of measures, like I said, academically, health-wise, even jobs-wise, guys as a whole are not doing as well as women as a whole. Now, there are certainly pockets and discrepancies there. And spoiler alert to nobody, like the rich white guys are still doing pretty good. The rest of everybody, pretty much struggling.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. I wanted to loop back around before I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So coming up on our next Finding the Throughline episode, I'm going to ask Jennifer questions that cover what I like to call the squishier parts of writing, like what parts of her work come easy and what parts give her the heebie-jeebies and any ideas or beliefs she's had to rewrite for herself. So come on back on Wednesday. Finding the Throughline airs one interview per week, broken up into three episodes that come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free. Skip the ads and get each interview in one longer episode by becoming a paid subscriber at katehanley.substack.com. Even if you aren't ready to get out your wallet just yet, become a free subscriber at katehanley.substack.com and receive the full show notes with links to everything my guests and I cover. However you listen, thank you. Finding the Throughline is edited by Sound Advice Strategies. Connect with me on Instagram at Kate Hanley Author. Here's a little preview of what's to come in part two of this interview.
I have this very perfectionistic side. And when I was younger, and it applied to all aspects of my life, not just creative work, all aspects of my life. If I didn't think I could be really good at something, if not the best, then I wouldn't even try it.
Mm-hmm.
As you can imagine, that really limits you right here. You have a very narrow, narrow lane.
I'm Kate Hanley, and this is Finding the Throughline. More to come on Wednesday.